Women's E-News, weekly summary of news about women, women's issues, and from women's perspectives, from the weekly Cheers and Jeers column of August 2, 2008. I'm Sandy Billings. Leading with the good news, Cheers, a sexual assault bill gets a boost. The House Subcommittee on National Security and Foreign Affairs held a hearing examining the problem of sexual assault in the military. The hearing triggered reintroduction of a bill that will help military victims recover from assault and prosecute perpetrators. In the most recent fiscal year, 131 rapes and assaults against female soldiers were reported officially. More news to cheer this week. Michigan became the 11th state to expand electronic monitoring of violent abusers. This week, they passed a law allowing GPS tracking devices to be attached to abusers even before they go to trial. The device sends an alert to a victim's cell phone if a suspect gets too close. Massachusetts, Hawaii, and Oklahoma have enacted similar measures. Saudi officials and anti-violence advocates met in Jeddah to discuss improving coordination between agencies. They laid out goals to protect victims, ensure that all victims get shelter and legal assistance. Another goal is to increase penalties for abusers. Girls had their strongest showing in the 71-year history of the American Soapbox Derby. The race was held in Akron, Ohio on July 26th. Female competitors won 5 of 6 divisions and swept the 3 major competitions. The winners are Joanna Barnosky of Akron, Haley Badel of Tallulah, Tennessee, Megan Newcomer of Danville, Indiana, Caitlin Smith of Fredericksburg, Maryland, and Courtney Rail of Washington, D.C., who, at age 16, became the oldest competitor in the Derby's history to win the Masters division. The Women's National Basketball Association scored an A-plus for both gender and race diversity in a report card by the Institute for Diversity and Ethics in Sport at the University of Central Florida. The WNBA's combined grades were the highest in the history of the report card. WNBA's Donna Orender is the only female league president in U.S. professional sports. Females in Front, a network of members of the European Parliament, wants to see at least one woman appointed to a top position in the European Union following a restructuring anticipated by the Lisbon Treaty. The group has collected over 24,000 signatures for a petition toward that goal. 1 million signatures from EU citizens are required to spur a citizens' initiative. This petition is directed at the European Commission, and it requests the Union implements gender parity measures. Currently, 31% of the European Parliament members are female. And now for the bad news. Jeers for the Bush administration's definition of contraception. Reproductive rights advocates continue to criticize a Bush administration proposal from July 15th. The administration seeks to redefine contraception as a form of abortion. The proposal allows medical providers to refuse to provide birth control services and referrals when it clashes with their private religious beliefs against abortion. Advocates this week warned that the federal proposal could supersede state laws that require hospitals and clinics to provide emergency contraception to rape victims. Cecile Richards, president of Planned Parenthood Federation of America, told the Washington Post, quote, "Women would be totally subject to the luck of the draw when they want to get reproductive health care," unquote. Abortion services continue to become more difficult to obtain in the U.S. Almost 90% of counties in the United States have no abortion provider. In western states, where women may travel up to 300 miles to reach a facility, abortion is going to become increasingly inaccessible as doctors retire and are not replaced. Wyoming has only one abortion provider who works at a clinic who was bombed by protesters in 1995. South Dakota has one clinic for abortion services and a doctor is flown in for a few hours a week to provide the care. In Idaho, 3 doctors have performed abortions in recent years. One retired last year and a second will retire this December. More news to jeer this week. During the tenure of U.S. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez, the Department of Justice used alleged homosexuality as a litmus test to hire and fire employees. This, according to a July 29th story in the Los Angeles Times. Margaret Chiara, one of 9 U.S. attorneys fired in 2006, says she believes she was dismissed because of false rumors that she was a lesbian. In a 16-month study of workers in Singapore, half said they had been sexually harassed on the job. A tenth of respondents had been told that they could lose their jobs or miss promotions if they didn't grant sexual favors. Almost three-quarters said they were not aware their companies had policies to protect them. Also noted in the news this week, South Korea's constitutional court has overturned a 21-year-old law that prohibited doctors from revealing the sex of fetuses. The law was passed in 1987 to help prevent sex-selective abortions. The court ruled the ban was too restrictive and said Korea had grown out of its preference for sons, noting that the nation was nearing the national gender ratio of 106 boys for every 100 girls. The sexual abuse trial of 28-year-old Virginia Mokobo has begun. Mokobo worked at the Oprah Winfrey Leadership Academy near Johannesburg, South Africa. Winfrey spent $40 million to open the girls' school in 2007, and she praised the students who came forward to report alleged abuse by Mokobo. These news briefs were compiled by Allison Stevens and Jennifer Thurston. Rita Henley Jensen is the editor-in-chief. This production of Women's E-News is brought to you by VP Foundation and Yen Radio. Background music is by Joan Hickey. This column and more news about women can be found at the Women's E-News website, www.womensenews.org. For Yen Radio, I'm Sandy Billings.